Matthew chapter 1. I told you, pastors have to come up with different ways to preach Advent and Christmas every year, or we think we have to. Maybe we don't have to. We think we do. Because for some reason in my mind, I think that you're going to remember if I preach the same sermon twice. Some of you would. Some of you wouldn't, because quite frankly, sometimes I can't remember what I've preached. But as I was reading through this and I was once again doing some in-depth study through some commentary and stuff, an idea came up to me that I've never really thought of before. We read the Christmas story every year. And today I want to focus on what I would call the Holy Spirit and Christmas. The Holy Spirit and Christmas. Every year we think about different characters involved in this incredible story, this incredible narrative about how Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. According to the prophecy that was given. And we think about all the different people involved. We think about Mary and Joseph. We think about the shepherds. We think about the angels. We think about all these people that made the story happen. But I want us to think for a moment today about maybe one of the most overlooked characters in the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 1, beginning of verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Father, this is your word. Once again, we just pray that you would use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess we're probably all at least somewhat familiar with the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol. You see, it's the story of a very bitter, Christmas-hating old miser named Ebenezer Scrooge. He hates everything about Christmas. He even refuses to go to Christmas Eve dinner with his own family members. That's how much he hates Christmas. One Christmas Eve night, Scrooge is visited by the ghost of his former business partner, a man named Jacob Marley, who had died 7 years earlier. Marley's ghost is bound by heavy chains and money boxes which he had accumulated over a lifetime of greed and selfishness. Marley tells Scrooge that he has one chance to escape the same fate, but Scrooge would be visited by three spirits: the spirit of Christmas past, the spirit of Christmas present, and the spirit of Christmas yet to come. He must listen to them in order to be spared from an even more miserable fate. And as we know, Scrooge emerges as a much kinder, gentler person because of this experience. One of the most overlooked characters in the Christmas account, I think, is the Holy Spirit. And I want us to look together for a few minutes today at the roles that the Holy Spirit plays in the Christmas story. It is, in fact, the activity of the Holy Spirit that makes Christmas possible and even a reality. You see, the angel came to Mary and Joseph and gave them news about Jesus. Neither Mary nor Joseph could understand how it was possible for Mary to give birth to Jesus, or any other baby for that matter, when she was a virgin. The angels gave the answer to this question. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. That's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. These scriptures deal with a miraculous and mysterious event that we know as the virgin birth. It's one of those doctrines of the church that many over the last decades have tried to shy away from, believe it or not. They question the validity of it. Some want to deny or even explain it away. But for me, it's not negotiable. It's a doctrine and teaching that I will not shy away from. I won't deny it. I won't compromise on it. I won't try to explain it away or even question it, because to discredit the virgin birth discredits the deity and divinity of Jesus himself. You see, if Jesus was not born of a virgin, then he was born of the carnal flesh and blood as the result of human interaction, and that would cause him to be a mere mortal and not God in the flesh. And when and if people ask me, as Mary did the angel, how can this be? I will answer just as the angel Gabriel did when he said, nothing is impossible with God. I believe very strongly in the virgin birth. And now that we have that cleared up, we can move on to the other areas of the importance of the Holy Spirit in Christmas. Now we have to understand something. The ideas that I'm going to share with you about the Holy Spirit come from the Jewish tradition. They are Jewish ideas and beliefs and realities of the Holy Spirit. We can't look at the Holy Spirit in the Christian sense the way we understand it today, because obviously it hasn't been poured out and revealed to Israel and to the Jewish nation the way it has to us. So the ideas that I'm going to be sharing with you next are the Holy Spirit as seen through the lens of Jewish faith and belief. Here's the first role that the Jews believed very strongly in from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings God's truth to men and women. The Holy Spirit brings the truth of God to men and women. It was the Holy Spirit who taught the prophets what to say when they talked and when they wrote. It was the Holy Spirit who taught the people of God what to do. It was the Holy Spirit who from generation to generation brought the truth of God to the people of God. So it was Jesus coming into the world that brought truth into the world. John chapter 1 covers a lot of this as a fulfillment of the prophecy that we find. Think about it this way, though. Jesus is the one person who can tell us what God is like. He was the one person who can tell us what God desires for us to be. You see, Jesus reveals to us who God is, what he is like, what he wants us to be like. You see, before Jesus came, we could only guess, or we could only imagine what God was like. But in Jesus, we see what God is like, because Jesus says that whoever has seen him has seen the Father in John 14:9. In Jesus, we see the one who is the image of the invisible God, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. You see, Jesus came to be the demonstration of the love and the grace and the mercy of the Father. Jesus came to be the demonstration of the goodness and the purity and true obedience to the will of the Heavenly Father. Jesus came to tell us and to show us the truth about God, and therefore show us the truth about ourselves. The Holy Spirit through Jesus coming into the world brings God's truth to men and women like you and me. Second thing that happens is the Holy Spirit enables us to recognize truth when we see it. Now, it's one thing to be told the truth. It's another thing to recognize. It's one thing to see the truth. It's another thing to recognize the truth as being truth. Jesus, when he came into the world, he opens our eyes to the truth about God and about ourselves. You see, we're often blinded by so many different things in our life. Some of it's through ignorance, and when I say that, it's not a bad word. Ignorance simply means that you're uneducated or you don't know about something. I know people use it as an insult. It's not an insult when used in the correct terminology. But we're blinded sometimes by what we don't know. We're blinded by our own misunderstanding. We're blinded by our own bias. We're blinded sometimes by our own prejudice. We're blinded sometimes by our own fears and our own inadequacies and our self-image. I want you to think about what I just said earlier. God wants us to see the truth about ourselves. There's a great story in the Old Testament that I think goes along with this very well. It's a story of a man named Gideon, and it's found in Judges chapter 6 and 7. You see, in the book of Judges, Israel has been under the control of the Midianites now for 7 years. God allowed this to happen. You know, they've kind of been taken captive. The Midianites are being very overbearing, and they're just destroying everything. That every time Israel would put out a crop, the Midianites come and either harvest it or destroy it. Every time they would try to raise livestock, the Midianites would come and destroy everything that the Israelites were trying to do, so that Israel lived in subjection to the Midianites. And this happened, God allowed this to happen, because Israel had been disobedient. And in this story about Gideon, we find Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press. That doesn't make any sense. He's in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. But he's there because he's hiding from the Midianites. He's trying to thresh and process and salvage what wheat he has and keep it hidden from the Midianites so that they don't come and take it. He's hiding. He's afraid. An angel sneaks up on him. I think watches him for a short time and then says this: "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." After, I think, nearly jumping out of his skin, after all, he did think he was the only one there and wasn't expecting anyone else. You ever been there? You ever had that happen? I was a student at Mid-America, working as a custodian for Blue Valley School District. I worked from 3 to 11:30 in the evening. And on this one night, there was actually more than one night this happened, but on this one night, I showed up to work, and I was the only one that showed up to work at my school. Usually we had three, depending on the size of the school, usually we had at least three different custodians, and we had the different areas of responsibility. I can't remember what happened, but somehow or another, I ended up being the only custodian who showed up. Other guys were sick, other things going on. So I'm in the school by myself trying to clean as much of the school as I can possibly get cleaned by myself in 8 hours' time. I called my boss. They said, just do what we call a trash and dash. Take the trash out, clean up as much other stuff as you possibly can. I was the only person in that school building, or so I thought. All the doors were locked. But guess what? When your supervisor has a key, he can get in a locked door. I had the vacuum cleaner running, so I couldn't hear anything that was going on, and I'm vacuuming in this big room, and all of a sudden all the lights go out. A man named Phil almost ceased living that night. I thought I was the only one there. The lights come off. I stopped everything I was doing, started looking around. He turned the lights on, and he's laughing. I said, that is not funny at all. I thought I was here by myself. You just scared me to death. I think that's what Gideon's going through right now. He's here all by himself. He thinks he's found a spot where nobody else knows where he is, and all of a sudden he hears this voice. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. So Gideon responds. Basically, here's what he said. I'm not going to read it all to you. I'm kind of paraphrasing. He said, if God is with us, if the Lord is really with us, why is all this bad stuff happening to us? He's talking about Israel. Why has God abandoned us? Have you ever asked God that? Let's be honest. How many of us have ever been in a situation in our life where we would simply ask God, if we were face to face with him, why is all this bad stuff happening to me? If you really cared about me, if you really loved me, none of this would be going on. That's Gideon. Why has God abandoned us? He's left us all alone. He's left us under the leadership and under the oppression of the Midianites. The angel responds, go in the strength that you have and save Israel. Am I not sending you? Gideon, now catch this response. My clan or family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least or the weakest in my family. I want you to catch something very important there. I want you to listen to Gideon's perception of who he is. My family is the weakest in the kingdom, and I am the least of my family. What's Gideon telling this angel, this messenger? He's saying, hey, you got the wrong guy. You're obviously in the wrong place talking to the wrong person. How in the world do you think I am going to save Israel? The angel said, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. And if you read that chapter, you'll read how Gideon kind of tests the spirits. He puts out the fleece three different times, asking for God's confirmation. And finally, Gideon agrees to do what God has called him to do. And he starts off with a few thousand men, but God leads him through the process of finding the people, the exactly the right people that Gideon needs to take with him in his attack on the Midianites. And Gideon goes on to lead a small band of 300 people to defeat the entire army of the Midianites. But God used this event to show Gideon who he was called to be. And God used Gideon in a mighty way to save Israel. So let me ask you the question. In what ways have we allowed Satan to blind and deceive us about who we really are? I'm a nobody. I'm not important to the church. I'm not important to my family. I'm not important to this. My life doesn't matter to anybody. Yes, it does. And if you believe that this morning, let me tell you, it's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Because everyone has value and importance in the sight of God. What lies are we believing about ourselves? Life looks completely different when Jesus teaches us how to look at things. Let the Holy Spirit show you who you really are and let him make you into the person that God really wants you to be. Why do we live so far beneath the potential that we have through the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit? Because we have fallen for the trap and we've believed and bought into the lies that Satan tries to tell us. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never pastor a large church. You'll never be a large church. You'll never be successful in this. You might as well not even try. That's all Satan talking to us. But see, the Holy Spirit helps us to recognize the truth when we see it. Or when we hear it. Gideon, through this whole process, came to realize the truth about who he really was in the sight of God. An incredible story. We don't have time to go through it all. Here's the third role that the Holy Spirit has in kind of this whole act of Christmas. The Holy Spirit is the active force in creation. The Holy Spirit is the active force in creation. It was through His Spirit that God brought about creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 tells us that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters and chaos became a world. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 tells us that God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or the spirit of life. Psalm 33:6 says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all their hosts by the breath or the spirit of his mouth." You see, it's the Holy Spirit that was active in the creation of the world. The Holy Spirit is the creator and giver of life. And Jesus, by becoming flesh and living among us, brings this life-giving power into our world. John chapter 1, verse 12 tells us that all who receive him and believe in his name have the right to become the children of God. Jesus coming into the world gives us new life, eternal life, for all of those who choose to believe in him, to believe in who he is. Active force in creation, forming life. You give life. You are love. You bring light from the darkness. The Spirit, that word breath, whether you're looking Old Testament or New Testament, Hebrew and Greek, they both use the same word, and it means Spirit. I want us to understand the very Spirit of God, the very life that we have, comes through the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. The Spirit in creation. Without the Holy Spirit, none of it would have happened. But here's maybe the best part. The Holy Spirit is the active force in recreation or redemption. I don't want you to think I'm getting into it. It's not reincarnation. We're not going all that kind of stuff. Recreation. And when you think of that word, I want you to think about it in renewal or revival. The Holy Spirit can restore and revive life where it seems to have been lost. And once again, there's an incredible story about an event and a vision that takes place in Scripture that illustrates this truth. And it's found in Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to read some of this to you because it's just too good not to. The Holy Spirit, the active force in recreation or redemption. The prophet Ezekiel is writing, and here's what he says. "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live again?' I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I will make breath, spirit. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath, no spirit, no life. There was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath, spirit, entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast and mighty army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Can you imagine that vision? You see, as is explained there, this valley of dry bones represented the entire nation of Israel. It represented a nation who had once followed after God, who had been obedient to God, who had tried to remain faithful to God, but it represented a nation who along the way somewhere got off course and they backslid and they forsook the God that they served. And they found themselves to be dead and dry and lifeless. They described themselves as having no hope, no life, no reason to live. Yet God told Ezekiel, he said, prophesy to the breath, to the spirit, and tell the people, I will put my spirit in you and you will live again. You see, when Jesus came to this world, he brought with him a power that can recreate, a power that can renew and revive life. In Jesus, we have a power that can bring life to the soul that is dead in sin, a power that can rekindle the flames of spirituality that have been burned out, a power that can restore unto us the joy of his salvation. All of this happens and is made possible only through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that was the active force in causing Mary to be with child. That same spirit that was the active force and caused her to give birth to that baby named Jesus, Emmanuel, who would save his people from their sins. This is the true spirit of Christmas. Understanding the Holy Spirit's involvement then and now. Here's my question for you. How active is the Holy Spirit in your life? How active are we allowing the Holy Spirit to be in our lives? He can renew, revive, and restore. That level of passion and excitement about serving him and being in relationship with him and following after him day after day. Maybe you're burned out. Maybe you're part of the valley of dry bones and you need a refreshing and renewing and reviving spirit. My challenge and encouragement to us today is this. Be aware. Be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit, or maybe the lack of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And let's do everything we can to experience once again that power and presence that we can have with us day after day as His Spirit lives in us and guides us and directs us. Father, today, thank you again for your love and for your Spirit, for your word, for your grace. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for being a Father who loves us and will never give up on us. Thank you for being that God who gives us chance after chance. And we thank you today for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would help each and every one of us to seek after, to experience that gift, and to live in the knowledge and presence of your Holy Spirit. Have your way in us. Help us to be obedient to you and follow after you each and every day of our lives. We love you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.